Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Fire Tribe.
Welcome.
What up, what up?
Back. It is Monday, October the 13th. See what I did there? A little Halloween, I know Monday, but a little Halloween action for you. International break.
What do you mean?
Instead of Friday the 13th, it's Monday the 13th.
Ow.
Pretty good, right?
Holy.
What do you mean?
It's
a rough start to the episode already.
It's always going to be a little rough.
Yikes.
Another international break wrapped up. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but we are going into game week 8 now. Last week, right, we did a just totally midfielder episode. We're back to regular programming this week. Outside of, we're not going to talk about our mini league because we talked about it last week, but we're going to be transfers or topics transfers and then our player picks going into game week 8. I think we're going to start to see a lot of wild cards getting played very soon. Last I checked, only about 5% of players have played them. But I think people are going to start playing them. And the reason I say that is because, as we've mentioned many times, the AFCON is starting in game week 16. This FPL season, you get 5 free transfers from that AFCON, which means you should be using your transfers between weeks 11 and 15. You should use all 5 of them at some point in that period. Because if you get to game week 16 and say you have 3 transfers banked, you're only going to get 2 free ones. They're not going to give you more than 5. So you can use that game week 11 to 16 as a way to basically replace your entire team. 10 of your 11
pretty
people
much
can get replaced. If you pick 10 really great players for the future, you can now push your wild card chip usage or free hit chip usage back further into the second half of the season. So a lot of strategy there, but just be aware, like, use your wild card soon because you're going to have a lot of transfers coming up. That was that. Fellas, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Good, man. My company was nice enough to give us a wellness day on Friday.
Lucky.
So I'm feeling, lucky, as my boss said, I should be feeling recharged, rejuvenated, and ready to attack the week.
Do
That's
you?
What I was told today.
Until you watch Man U this weekend.
Whoa, whoa.
And it all goes back.
We won. All right.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Come
fair
on.
Enough. You didn't have off today, right? Did anyone have off today?
I did.
You did have off?
Yeah.
No, lucky you.
Yeah.
Lucky you. That's a nice one. Was your weekend good, though?
Yeah.
You're with me a little bit this weekend.
I was.
Yeah.
I was with you. Watched some football yesterday.
Wow, guys. Thanks for
American
playing.
Football.
Oh. Slept in a bit.
Sorry. Sorry.
That's cool. No, I don't want to.
No,
I hate football.
About once a month we meet and hang out without you just so we can talk to you.
And it's just us, right, too. We don't include the baby. We don't include the girls.
Yeah.
It's literally Phil and I.
Yeah. We go to your favorite bars, mm-hmm, and favorite, like, drink your favorite beers.
We actually go to the bar down the street from your house.
Yeah.
And don't tell you we're there.
I'm actually getting sad.
It's like,
just, Liv, everyone knows
Liv
out
actually,
there.
Liv actually knows we're there. We tell her we're there. We tell her not to tell you.
That's the only part of this that doesn't surprise me.
It's like, how many beers do we need to drink before we go egg your house?
Yeah. Surprisingly,
it's not that many.
It was only two. It was only two beers. Yeah. That's what was crazy.
First sip, I'm like, let's go, Sean.
Yeah. We're out of here.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Anywho.
Anywho. So like I said, back to regular programming. We're going to hit topics, then we're going to hit transfers. So let's get started.
It's time for topics and transfers.
All right. So topics this week, we're late on topics. Like, again, international break, not too much to talk about, but a couple things I just wanted to mention. First being Salah did have two goals against the powerhouse that is Djibouti. I joke, obviously not much of a powerhouse, but Salah, two goals, maybe that kickstarts his FPL
it won't.
Numbers. I don't think it will, because Dave said it last week. It's a Liverpool problem more than it's just a Salah problem. Now, of course, he needs to play better, but the team in general.
He keeps scoring an international break. He's wasting his goals against these useless teams.
Good for us.
That's great for us.
We'll take
Save him for the weekend.
At this point, most people are on Haaland, so you know. At this point, it doesn't.
Do we know what the ownership right now is for?
Do you want
Salah?
Me to tell you?
I got it right here in a second.
It's probably got to still be in the 20s, right?
Almost 40% still.
He is 38.4%. Only Semenyo is ahead of him.
Now, I am sure a lot of those people also have Erling Haaland on their team.
Possibly.
They're
I can't do that cross-check for you right now.
No. But that's still highly owned for what he's worth and his output. So,
yeah.
Maybe he'll turn it around.
Yeah. So, that wanted to mention that, right? Just let the people know Salah did get two goals. Also, another superstar that missed two PKs. Can you believe it? Maybe he, it stunts his excellence in FPL. No, because Haaland then also got five goals, anyways.
got three shots.
I thought, are you sure it's not five?
He didn't score five.
That was a different game.
Yeah.
Which game am I thinking of?
No, he scored three against Israel.
Yeah.
They won 5-0.
I'm talking about Moldova. Did that game happen recently, or did I mess that up? Someone fact check me. Live fact check.
Well, no, yeah, he scored. That was like
he did score four or five in a game.
That was a previous international break.
Yeah.
What the heck am I looking at? Oh, I see Israel 5-0. I did look at. You're right. That was match day six out of 10.
He scored five against Moldova.
He did score. Okay, yeah. So I was half right. But yes, Phil, against Israel, he scored three goals. Yeah. But he did miss two PKs. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's not FPL relevant. He's still the best forward on earth. I was just thought it was funny to see like the disparity with some of these international teams at times. And then on the flip side, sometimes it doesn't go so well, which we know is unfortunate. Ollie Watkins did suffer a knock against Wales in England's first game, so he's out in their second game versus, I think, Latvia, I believe. He did go back to Villa. It sounds like it's not serious, but again, they tell us this all the time where, oh, he'll be fine, and then he just doesn't play. So keep your eyes out on Watkins, especially a Villa team that's struggling. Who knows if they're going to try and mix it up, so keep your eyes open there.
Enzo Fernandez, too, got hurt for Argentina.
Enzo Fernandez?
I think it's a knee. He left their camp, went back to London.
That
should
one?
Be some updates throughout the week, but yeah, that one particularly annoys me because I just wildcarded and picked him, and I want a bench boost this week. So
that's a big one, knowing that they're down Palmer, and now they're down potentially Enzo. That's a big deal for that midfield.
I think Estevao picked up a knock, too.
Oh, I was going to say, he would be an interesting guy if both of them are out.
I don't even want to mess with it, not knowing that they're terrible injuries. Hard.
Let me fact check myself on that one just to make sure.
While you fact check yourself.
Yeah, he did. He did pick up a knock, but it's not... Estevao.
I think he was.
Oh, it was the flu.
He should be good. Okay. But two players that played as if they were injured, Isak and Gyökeres, looked absolutely horrendous with Sweden. So I would recommend you watch some highlights of the games because they looked lost. Now Sweden as a whole hasn't looked good.
They're in a playoff. They have to fight for their lives to make
the
World Cup.
They're struggling. Not sure how that translates to FPL. I think Isak is still getting in rhythm, so that's expected, and Gyökeres is kind of in a slump. I think he will turn it around, but it was interesting to watch them
play. Two players, they did not look good. They should be a powerhouse playing against some of the teams they get to play against, and that's crazy that they I don't know. Something's just off. Something's off with them. Yeah. But all right. Those were the only topics I had. Like I said, nothing serious. Again, we're in international break. We'll be back to some good topics next week, I'm sure. So, Dave, transfers this week. Who's coming in? Who's coming out?
The ins are, a lot of them are pretty self-explanatory. Semenyo, Holland, I don't need to talk about them. Three Arsenal guys, which we probably don't need to mention. Gabriel, Jurrien Timber, Bukayo Saka are all on the ins. Arsenal's schedule just got really good, so that makes a lot of sense. Mohamed Kudus is in there, who I think I mentioned last week. I think you're about to see some more returns from him. I think he's played really well the last couple of games. Moise Caicedo becomes an even more valuable Chelsea asset if they're missing Enzo Fernandez or Estevao this coming week, and he's been super consistent all year. And Mr. Voltmata for Newcastle is the last guy in the top eight transfer ins. Sean's shaking his head. Don't know why. The man just keeps on scoring.
Yeah, because he's got three shots and three goals.
Look,
that's why I'm shaking my head.
Sean doesn't appreciate efficiency.
I do appreciate efficiency, but I know how it ends. Okay, I know how efficiency ends.
Last year it worked for you with Chris Wood, so
yeah, and look how it's going this year for Chris Wood.
Yeah, that's this year.
Maybe Woltemade is the Chris Wood.
We'll find out.
I guess we will find out. I think I know.
Fair.
What else? Anything else?
No, that's all the ins. The outs. Mo Salah is the most transferred out player by a long way,
he just scored two goals. We just talked about it. What are you doing?
Well, he doesn't get to play
your booty
every game. Jack Grealish can't play this week because I can't play against his parent club, Man City. João Pedro's on here, and I can't remember if I said this last week, but do you know how many shots on target he has in the last three game weeks?
You did like say one. This, and I don't think I listened well.
One or two.
He has as many shots on target in the Premier League as you do in the last three game weeks.
Zero.
He has one total attempted shot.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Shot in the last three games.
It sounds like Palmer might make João Pedro. That might be a thing.
He might need some support around him.
Yes, he might.
He is making way for a number of other options up front, most notably Mr. Woltemade that we just said. We just talked about Viktor Gyökeres. I think he's about to turn it around, but many of you don't because he's on the outs. Richarlison, who didn't start Spurs last game. They're doing this thing where him and Tell rotate starts, I guess.
I'm so tired of it.
Which I don't think makes any sense.
If I'm a Tottenham fan, I'm just like, what? What is happening?
I love Thomas Frank as a coach, but Mathys Tell is not a center forward.
No.
But anyway, what do I know?
Yeah.
Chris Wood, Bruno Fernandes. Hugo Ekitike round out the transfer outs. I think we talked about Bruno last week. We're all still fairly in on him, given his importance to Man United. Wasn't in my wildcard team, but Phil's a big supporter,
yeah.
Especially given his Portugal get up this week.
See you.
I say, let's not pretend that he's on the back. We know who it is.
Yeah, it's number 7.
Muchas gracias, afición. Este para vosotros.
Did miss a PK. This weekend, Keller saved it.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
But, yeah, I mean, I have both Gyökeres and Bruno. I think for different reasons they're going to turn it around. I'm a little surprised right before the run of fixtures Arsenal has that people are getting rid of him, but I do understand it's 9 million. He hasn't scored in a few games. Doesn't look his best, but yeah. I don't know.
And Bruno plays Liverpool this week on the road, and people want Saka, so that would make sense. But
that it does make sense for this upcoming game week.
But yeah, that's the notable transfers. That's all I got.
All right. That's all you got. So then we just look, we're early on time. It's going to be a nice long player pick conversation.
Or short.
We're going to give you all the people.
Just get out of here.
All of them?
Yeah, we could just give them no people.
We could just leave.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do that to you. We're just joking. I'm just kidding.
We love our fire tribe.
We do love our fire tribe.
Before you get into the players and say your spiel, I do think it's a strange game week because outside of City, none of the top teams or stronger teams really have a decent matchup. You could consider Liverpool against United being a good matchup for Liverpool, but United's played them pretty strong the last few games. So I know it was like 2-3 years ago when Liverpool was just running train on them every single game, but that has changed. So long story short, none of the top teams or stronger teams have good easy matchups, and then all the bottom teams play each other. You have Burnley against Leeds, you have Sunderland against Wolves, and then a West Ham against Brentford, which I think can fit in that category. So just keep that in mind when you're setting your team or you're looking for transfers and players. You could potentially choose some of those cheaper options from those lower tier teams.
2,000 years later.
There you go.
It's unnecessary.
Thanks.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, bye, Sean.
Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome.
Now can I do my spiel?
Yeah, do your spiel.
Yeah, whatever you want.
All right. Now we're on the player picks. Let's go.
Player picks of the week.
That's my favorite one.
All right, that's enough of that. All right, so player picks. Like I said, we're going to have a lot of time to talk today. We're early without the Melee review, so let's get started with...
It's dangerous.
Let's get started with Leeds, though. Ooh. I wanted to talk about Leeds because...
Lead with Leeds.
They have the best next two game weeks, probably of any team in the EPL. So let's talk about why, again. Two of the best, but let's talk about why it's two of the best, right? Burnley giving up 15 goals. West Ham giving up 16 goals. They're number one and two in goals conceded this season.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of goals to be scored. Unfortunately, you know, Leeds is not the most powerful offense, right? I think they have 7 goals in the season. But if there was a time to score some goals, this would be the time. It is funny, though. I wanted to see, you know, how does West Ham and Burnley fare away versus home in terms of goals conceded. When West Ham plays at home, they give up 3.33 goals, which is significantly more than anyone else. Unfortunately, they are playing at Leeds, so that doesn't help. And Burnley, when they play away, they give up 3.25 goals. At home, they're actually much better, and that's where they're playing Leeds. So I just throwing that out there as an extra little, like, think about it, right? It does look like a very, very good matchup, and it probably is, but the two teams they're playing are significantly worse in the opposite place, right? So just think about that.
Burnley's been bad at home?
Burnley? No, what I'm saying is Burnley's playing at home. They're significantly worse away from home when it comes to goals conceded.
Makes sense, right?
Well, on the flip side, West Ham is horrible at home, and they're much better away from home, which is where Leeds is playing them, right? So I'm just saying, like, the matchup itself, they're playing the two worst teams in terms of goals.
I see what you're saying. Like,
but they're not getting the matchup that you would hope they get. Like, anything above three, there's no one else above three, home or away. Wolves is the closest after that. And when you look at them on the opposite side, like, I think Burnley is an example. When they are home, they give up less than a goal. So they're actually pretty stout defensively at home. So just something to think about. And I think, I don't know off the top of my head what West Ham is, but it was closer to one, maybe like 1.2 something when they're away from home versus at home. So something to think about, you know, might be a sneaky good game for those two, but hey.
Very interesting.
Now that I've said all that, I want to talk about three players. I need to get some opinions from the boys.
Fine.
The three players to me, if you have one at the end, you throw it out there. The three players to me that are the most interesting from Leeds at the moment: Stash, who is the most owned at 3.2%, Longstaff, owned 0.6%, and then Calvert-Lewin is up to 1.4%. Those are the three guys to me that, and we're not talking defense right now. I'm talking offensively.
Okay.
Defensively, okay. It's Joe Roden.
I was going to say, how are you going to just do my boy Joe Roden?
Joe Roden's number one defensively. Goodmanson is probably number two. But I'm talking offensively. We're talking about trying to score some goals this week.
Fine.
So I want to start with Stash, right? Like I said, he's the most popular option on Leeds right now. but he's a tough one for me. He has one goal and two assists. But his expected numbers are really, really bad. 0.1 expected goals per game and 0.12 expected assists. That XG ranks like 120th overall. And the XA ranks like in the 80 range. He's outperforming his XFPL by... 7 points. It also sounds like, and I'm not 100% on this, but it's just something I read, that he may be getting moved off of corners, which is just going to hurt his XA even more. Plus Leeds anyways is bottom six in corner kicks, so they don't get that many. So before I go further, is anyone up? Like, I'm down on him because it looks like he started well, and he's kind of, if you look at his XA, XG, it's getting worse as we go on. Like, he's going out of form. Does anyone disagree with me on that?
No, he's more of a DEFCON guy, but he's only gotten DEFCON twice. I'm just going to lump Longstaff in with him since you said you want to talk about him too.
I do.
They're pretty much the same. I think Longstaff has gotten DEFCON twice as well.
Yeah.
Neither of them have provide a lot of goal threat.
No.
A lot of their creative numbers are both equally, I'll call it, underwhelming.
Yeah.
They're cheaper DEFCON guys, but I think you can do a little bit better at that price point if you're looking for DEFCON, like Granit Xhaka comes to mind. So I'm not super interested in either one of them.
No.
I don't hate Stash, but like I said, I think there's just a couple guys down there at that price that I would take over him.
On Longstaff, like, to your point, the expected numbers are as bad. It's 0.08 expected goals, 0.24 expected assists. But that's game week three on. He didn't play very much in game week one or two.
It's true.
So I just kind of removed those. But when you look at him by game, his numbers have increased every single game since game week three. So that
he does have...
point being is he seems to be coming into form. Stash is becoming out of form.
Yeah.
So if I'm picking between them, I actually think Longstaff's probably the better option.
Longstaff does have 1.2 expected assists on the season. So if you're going to go with one of them, I feel like I'd probably go with him.
Longstaff.
To be honest, yeah.
Yeah. That's again, you're splitting hairs.
I don't care for either of them. So
I understand you don't care for either. I'm just trying to give the reasoning as to why you might.
It's a very,
want either.
It's a very differential, put it that way.
All right. Well, let's get on to the guy that is probably actually of a little bit of interest, and that's Calvert-Lewin. We all know Calvert-Lewin. He's been around for a while. 5.5 million, 1.4% owned. Forwards are tough this year. We've talked about it multiple times. It's very hard to have a good three forwards. Phil said last week he's at a point where starting two forwards is probably his game plan, just because the forward position's pretty horrible at the moment. But he's done very little this season. He has one goal, he has one assist, but he is top 10 in expected goals. He is top 10 per 90.4 expected goals, while being pretty on par with the other fours in terms of expected assists. It's 0.08. That's run-of-the-mill, you know, if you're not Haaland. That's pretty run-of-the-mill for a forward. He's played 90 minutes in his last three as well. So that's interesting. Now, he has 9 shots. 7 of those are on target, only 1 goal. Kind of crazy to have 9 shots.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
7 on target and 1 goal. 1 goal on 7 shots on target. Because I made the point, you know, a guy like Waltemade, 3 for 3. Like, I think Gyökeres might be like 1 for 5, 1 for 6.
I mean, you look at last week, or I guess not last week, but the week before against Tottenham. He had one really good chance that Bakari made an insane save on it. So
he's 3rd in shots on target. He's only behind Mateta with 8, and then obviously Haaland. So he's up there, and like I said, he has only played 90 minutes, 3 games now. So he's getting chances.
I think someone like him, if you have him on your team because you needed a budget forward to fit other guys in, or maybe you have a free hit or something like that, it makes sense to play him this week. This would be the week to play him.
I'm interested for 2 weeks here, knowing how bad the forwards are.
Okay, but I don't think it makes sense to like waste a transfer to bring him
for two full weeks. Oh, the rest of the schedule is not bad for them. Their next six games are pretty good. Well, okay, him or Evan Nielsen. So I have Evan Nielsen, him or Evan Nielsen.
I'm going to pour Dave some water while you guys
discuss this. After here you go. Happens. Dave, him or Evan Nielsen right now. Next two games, him or Evan Nielsen.
Evan Nielsen.
That's insanity.
Look,
him or Joao Pedro, next two games.
Joao Pedro. Look, I know he has five big chances, which is up there near the top.
Playing less than most of the guys I'm sure he's next to.
If you have him already, play him.
Which you probably don't.
But don't go buy him. Because, and I'm not like some expert soccer analyst. I think I know what I'm looking at.
Yes, you are.
I just don't think DCL is that good.
And I don't think he's that good.
And I did this last year with him too.
We saw it at Everton. He's not that good.
He had a hot stretch.
I'm back.
Thank you for the water, Phil.
Yep. Some foamy water.
Some foamy water.
Yeah, some foamy
That's
water.
That's just some Mio he put on there.
Yeah, put some whipped cream.
I just don't think that he... I just don't think... He did this last year, and I fell for it. I bought him last year, and he did absolutely nothing. He's having a hot stretch.
New year.
He's playing well.
New year, new Lewin.
I just can't bring myself to do it again.
The thing is...
If you have him, play him, but don't go buy him.
I've watched two of Leeds' games... I've watched two of Burnley's games, and I feel much better watching Burnley play than I do Leeds.
Bunch of haters.
And, yeah.
You're a hater, yeah?
I'm a hater, and listen, if he scores, the timeline's going to go crazy, and...
No, because I'm going to have him. No, because I'm going to have him, so...
Great.
Please go buy him.
We'll hear about it. I
probably will.
It doesn't make sense to waste a transfer on it.
Yeah, I'm with them.
The word waste is just being thrown around. Insanity. Go buy
him. Use those AFCON transfers.
Yeah.
Use those AFCON. Okay.
You don't have yet.
All right. That's probably the extent we need to talk about Leeds for one day. let's move on to a guy that I mentioned, JP Mateta. Dave wants to talk about JP Mateta because JP Mateta is
the man
of interest this week. So, Dave, I'll give you the floor.
Yeah. I bought him in my wild card.
And what a waste of a pick.
Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Look, if you watch Crystal Palace play, all their chances go to him or Sar. That's pretty much it. He's second in XG behind only Haaland amongst forwards. All of his big chance stats, shots in the box, shots on target are all up there. He gets like two glorious chances a game, and he just hasn't finished them so far. They're coming. The goals are coming for him. He did the same thing last year. He started slow. And then his finishing came around as the season went on. That's going to happen soon. He's got nine big chances and two goals. So I think it could happen as soon as this week for him. That's the reason I bought him. So I think you all should do the same. There are some people that have some minutes concerns with him, which I get. I think he only needs 70 minutes to score and make a difference. So that's where I'm at.
Did we ever switch off of Calvert-Lewin, or was that just... the exact same conversation we just had.
Yeah, but one of these players is good, the other one is not.
Oh, it's weird. You said last year they were both had a hot streak, and
yes,
and now you're saying it's going to come, like I said.
Yes, and see, last
it's
year...
weird, like we just had the same conversation with a different player.
Last year, they both started one of them got way
one's
back.
One's in second in XG, and one's in third. It's
no,
weird
he's
how
not
that
in
works.
Third.
Yes, he is in third.
Calvert-Lewin?
Among forwards.
No, he's in sixth.
Amongst forwards?
I'm looking right at it, bro.
0.4.
Oh, you're doing per 90. Yeah, you're right on that.
I know I'm right on that because I do my research. Do your own research, everyone. Don't just listen to us, you know. I'm kidding, Dave. I'm
still
kidding.
Think,
no, I'm
think you're right.
I'm just saying, that's fine. You don't have to think I'm right. I'm just letting you know that what you said is very similar to what I said.
That's good. Sean, you made a valid point. Well played. I think to Dave's defense, one player also plays for
JP
very...
Mateta's better, I know.
No. It's not about the player. It's about the team they play for as well.
Also true.
Crystal Palace has been looking better and better. I think you've called it out, Dave. Jeremy Pino, being that link player, just helps someone like JP Mateta. He He scored for Spain this international break. He could be an interesting option. I don't think I would waste a transfer to get him, but I think he is going to tossed. I know he's going to enhance Mateta's opportunities too, him and Sar together. So
look, conceptually you made a good point.
Yes.
Thank you.
I do think Mateta's like basically a cheaper version of Gyökeres, and like goes hand in hand with the team. Like Arsenal top dog with a forward that isn't putting big chances in, he will. Crystal Palace a little worse. That's team fine.
Same. We'll move on from the topic, Dave. It's a fair call out. My worry, which has been with Mateta since last year, is it's one of those players that we say it's coming, and it comes like once every 10 weeks, and maybe that'll change. But it's why I don't have him, because I do think he's good and he's getting all the chances. But this feels like him. He had a hot streak last year, and outside of that, pretty useless. So I'm afraid of him personally, but I obviously the underlying numbers back up exactly what you're saying, and all we can go by is underlying numbers. So fair enough. All right. Let's talk Arsenal. The best team in the EPL. Where do we want to start? I have a guy I'd like to talk about. Dave, I think you mentioned you have a guy you'd like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Odegaard is out, by the way, everybody. Odegaard is out, so...
Let's just start with my guy then, because that's why I wanted to mention it.
Okay. Well, okay. You guys talk through your guys, and then I'm going to pose a question your way.
Do you want to... Would it make more sense to start with a question?
Maybe. Let's do it.
Start with a question.
I'm assuming most people probably are going to have three Arsenal players for this next stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go 1-1-1, meaning one defender, one midfielder, and one... forward,
mm-mm,
defender counting Raya or a back line, or would he go 2-1 and cut out probably Gyökeres?
You can go first if
I will go option C, and I just took three defensive assets.
Yeah, I'm cutting out Gyökeres.
Oh, wait. No, I lied. I have Pope and Net. No, I have two defenders and Gyökeres.
Oh, no, okay. I would go two defenders and Saka.
Okay,
I would go
Raya one defender and Saka. Yeah. I don't want Gyökeres.
I think two defensive assets of some kind is
probably the consensus. Smarter. Yeah.
The defense is going to get more points than Gyökeres.
Well, that sucks because I have 1-1-1.
That's fine. It might work too.
Makes you different.
Gyökeres could go from being useless to being a top three forward in the FPL like in a week.
I mean, no one would be talking about this if Saka didn't need to get his 100th contribution and take the PK, so...
Eh, whatever. All right,
PKs are the theme.
Get your guy going.
No, that's good, because I was going to say, I want to talk about Eze, and, like, love him as a player, loved him last year. Mm-hmm. We had concerns about his minutes because of Champions League and mm-hmm. squad rotation, but with the Odegaard injury, I feel like it makes Eze's minutes a little bit more reliable.
Sure.
Because, I mean, they're going to probably... their midfield, Rice, Zubimendi, and Eze would probably be the go-to. Eze has also played, he's also played on the left. He's also played as a number 10 for Arsenal, too. I can't imagine, like, them benching him and playing, like, Marino or Norgaard.
A lot of money on him.
And Martinelli, like, they would have to play multiple guys over him. So I just think the Odegaard injury makes his minutes a bit more consistent.
Spent a lot of money on that guy. You're going to put him in the game.
Yeah.
That's why you spent money. That's why you brought him in. He had 6 points last game.
That was my whole point. Nothing has changed for me from like analyzing him as a player. I just think his minutes are, feel a little bit better about it, because Odegaard's going to miss like 6 to 8 weeks, I think they said.
Yeah, it's an MCL strain, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, his last two games, he's averaging right around 0.45 XG, which is better than all the forwards except Talon. So that's not too shabby. You like that, especially, like you said, it's a really good schedule for Arsenal. They're the best team in the EPL. So, maybe it doesn't work out. It's not a bad call. Like, he's going to be as relevant as the other midfielders you're probably going to try and pick up. So
he is a fun, I guess, I don't know if he's a differential at this point. Is he
13.4%. In the midfield, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of midfielders, so that might be considered differential, 13%. But... you know, let's see, where is he? He is number 10. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, he's the 10th highest owned midfielder right now. Right behind him, Bumo. So
differential-ish.
Yeah, yeah. I would say differential-ish. Differential-ish. No, I like that, Dave. I'm going to go, you know, on the other part of the question you asked. I'm going to talk about a defender. Not too outlandish here. I'm going to talk about the Jurrien Timber, because I think that Jurrien Timber is the best option on defense right now for Arsenal. Chop, chop, and I got chop. A new gift.
Oh, man.
It's great. It's great. Listen, I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun out here. No, I make those little things when I think it's a player that's going to be relevant. We have Haaland, we have Palmer, now we have Timber. Mm-hmm. I think Timber is going to be a relevant player throughout the season. I think he's the second best option. I know, obviously, Gabriel could probably be considered the best option. I personally think he's the second best option, possibly the first best option. He is 18% owned. He's flying up the ownership charts right now. But he offers really good attacking potential thus far this year, which, I mean, I knew he could, but I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it is. It's 0.16 expected goals per 90. That's seventh amongst defenders, which is pretty solid when we're talking about guys like Munoz, like Senesse. Like, there's a lot of guys that are really good at pushing forward. But what you get with him that you only get with one other guy in that top seven is Arsenal, right? You get three goals against, which is the best in the EPL. You get four shutouts, which is second in the EPL. The only guy that's better than him is actually Thiaw, a guy you mentioned. Newcastle has five shutouts. They're number one, but they've given up a few more goals. So he's the only guy in that top seven, though, that's relevant, right, in terms of attacking. The other ones are, what, from Everton, Brentford, Wolves, Sunderland. So, like, outside of Thiaw and Timber, like, those are the top pushing forwards. Like, okay, so I said all that. Do you think he's going to be more relevant until the midpoint of the season versus Gabriel? Not, well, when I say more relevant, I mean, who do you think hypothetically gets more points going to the halfway point of the season? Because they're both going to get shutout points, and I just think he offers more forward over Gabriel's corner potential on headers.
Yeah, I think that's a flip of the coin. I think with Timber, the biggest question is, he needs to stay on the field.
Minutes, yeah.
He's had injury issues since he's been at Arsenal. But when he's healthy, yeah, I think it's a coin flip between him and Gabriel. They both have goal threat and, you know, attacking potential in their own ways.
Yeah. I think the one thing Gabriel's going to be more consistent.
He gives you 90 every game.
He gives you 90. He's going to high chance of getting DEFCON. If he gets DEFCON, he's probably going to be part of the BPS system unless multiple players pop off offensively. Whereas Timber, I think, is more of a, he obviously will get the clean sheet if they get a clean sheet, but his pop-off potential is obviously depending on the attack and return, which doesn't come as often for defenders. I will say the thing that I like about him even more than his stats and underlying numbers is the eye test, just watching him play. He's like in the box more than Saka, for example, because Saka pulls out wide and he takes that defender with him, the left back. Mm-hmm. And then Timber just finds that space in between the center back and the left back. And in the last few games I've watched, he's just always in the box. And if Saka cuts in, he plays him through, or he's just in the danger area 24/7. And that's why I agree.
He's
I think
in the danger zone.
It's a coin toss, but he is, I mean, he's like a Munoz at this point.
12% less owned, yeah, which is helpful. I was just going to say he's kind of getting to that Munoz level. Yeah, so that's, you know, I wanted to mention Timber. Obviously, Gabriel Timber, take your pick. I just think Timber, he was interesting at the end of last year, and he is continuing that trend. And I really wanted to use that visual, so I had to throw him in.
I think Gabriel's gotten DEFCON three times. Timber hasn't gotten it. So Gabriel probably is the, like you said, Phil, slightly safer. Timber maybe with, I don't know, a tad more potential to spike a massive week, but like them both.
All right, so let's end the episode with a couple of cheap-ish player picks. You know, that's kind of been Phil's strategy thus far this season. So, Phil, cheap.
You're saying I'm cheap?
Phil's cheap.
No.
Okay, but slow your horses.
Phil's cheap.
Yeah, I'm cheap. I'm cheap as hell. Before we go into that, I just want to say Bowen is very interesting for the next few game weeks too. Him or Paquetá.
Gerard.
Can't say I really trust West Ham with anything, but for that cheaper forward option, for a cheaper midfielder, I know we've talked about them on this podcast a few times this year, but this is a good time to potentially bring them into your squad. So
love the Lucas Paquetá call.
Yeah.
He's playing further forward for them this year, and I believe he's on penalties, right?
He took the last one. Which is surprising that Bowen isn't, but, I mean, he's always been on PKs. I think Diouf is also an interesting guy to have, more for the offensive returns than, obviously, clean sheets.
They're never going to get a clean sheet. So.
Most assists among defenders is Diouf.
Yeah.
Three.
Granted, two of his assists, I'm pretty sure, have been pass the ball and see someone like run up the field, go around two guys and just score a screamer.
Doesn't matter.
But still counts.
It's still an assist.
Count it.
So, long story short.
It's like the U.S. men's national team strategy every year for 30 years, and it works.
West Ham is interesting for the next few game weeks if you're using a Carter or looking to bring in some guys. But to your point, Sean, I do think like most players probably have a budget guy.
Yeah,
from like Burnley or Sunderland, that $4 million range, just to be able to fit in a few other guys. And this kind of what I alluded to at the beginning of the episode with how the matchups matched up. This is the week where you can really play them. So like Alderete for Sunderland against Wolves could be a good option. Burnley, Dubravka, or Esteve for defenders could be a good option at home versus Leeds.
We just talked about they give up less than a goal a game at home. Burnley does, despite giving up a lot of goals.
They
0.67 goals against at home. So and, they're pretty good at home.
And here's the thing, right? When you look at most, like I have Gehi, Senesi. I don't necessarily like Senesi away at Crystal Palace. So will I play someone like Esteve over Senesi for this game? Like, it feels crazy, but this is the week where you can potentially throw in that rotation with these budget guys. Oh.
You're also playing defenders against each other, so they're just going to absorb each other at some point, which you never want.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was a challenge for me when building a team.
Yeah. It's always a challenge.
Joe Roden, too.
Joe Roden's, and I have him on my team. I think, what's his name? Oh, my gosh.
While you're thinking of that, everyone out there who doesn't already have Caicedo, great option, and we're dropping a short tomorrow on our socials, YouTube, so check it. You can see what we think about Caicedo. I think he's one of the top cheap options right now.
Yep. Jadon Anthony.
Jadon Anthony is also
one of the top midfield options, but this could be a great week to potentially start him versus, I don't know, Reinders or Bruno Fernandes. I might sit Bruno Fernandes to start Anthony because I don't think Bruno's going to get much against Liverpool.
75% chance of playing.
Yeah,
but
that's
that could easily change.
Long story short, everything's come to this game week where you can finally use those budget guys and take advantage of them. And that is Fireside.
Oh, you got to give me a warning.
Sorry.
He's not ready. Listen, I'm doing a lot. You're doing a lot. I love that, Phil. That's, you know, we get a couple weeks in the year where you really get to utilize some of the bad teams all play each other at one time. It's like the stars align. So I love that.
I'll leave you with a crazy question. Do you have three Burnley players this week? If you're like wild carding or, well, not wild carding, but free hitting, throwing Dubravka, Esteve, and Anthony?
No, because despite the defense only giving up 0.67 goals at home conceded, I still don't trust them defensively to think they're going to get a shutout. They have three of them.
They have to have the highest chance of a shutout this week. Yeah, but maybe over City.
If you're free hitting.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, probably have some of the top chances. But I don't want any offensive players. I mean, Jadon Anthony is the only one. If he plays. Yeah. So okay. I would be willing to play two if I had a free hit. Take two Burnley defenders this week. Yes, I would. I think that's fair. And Dubravka, goalie defender. I would be willing to do that.
Yeah, I have Dubravka and Roden, and I'm bench boosting this week, so I need a 0-0 game.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Listen, I only had 4 million left.
Yeah,
rare. All right, well, that is all she wrote, boys.
Who's she?
Whoever you want she to be.
Nice.
Yeah. So, game week 8 coming up. Next week we'll be back, same time, same place. Looking back at game week 8, looking forward to game week 9. If you're watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. We really appreciate it. We love comments. We respond to them. We like interacting with everybody. Check us out on socials. We drop a lot of visuals, a lot of stats, a lot of different things on there. Instagram, X, TikTok. Check us out on Spotify if you don't want to watch us on YouTube. And I think that's everything.
Yeah.
You killed it.
Sounds right. I covered everything. Oh, and if, you know, you want to see our teams and some summaries and some extra content, if you want to be in our Discord, check out the Fireside Patreon if you're interested in something like that. And with that, now that I'm out of breath, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.